Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
My name's Christy Robillard, and I'm the Morning Virtue Bible Study Coordinator. And, yeah, woohoo! And thank you. I know that I'm a new face to many of you because you're new faces to me, but actually I've been around for a really long time, really long time. My husband and I have fellowshipped here at Harvest for about 35 years. My husband, Larry, is the missions coordinator, and it's so funny when I meet new people that I've been fellowshipping with for a really long time, because that happens in a really big church, right? New people that have been here forever. And they'll say, you know what? My kid went on a missions trip with your husband. And I hear these neat stories from other people, but he's just an amazing guy, and I just love him to pieces. He's fearless, but he makes me afraid sometimes, some of the places he goes and some of the things that he does. He stretches my faith a lot. And so I began serving in this very ministry almost 30 years ago. That's crazy. I don't feel 30 years older. I really don't. But you know what? I am. And as I was having my devotion time, I looked at this Bible. I bought this Bible in our bookstore, which is now the chapel, 27 years ago, because there's a date in it. Now, it's genuine bonded leather, and it's pink. But between the genuine bonded leather coming unbonded and the packing tape, you can't tell what shade of pink it is, but it's the shade of pink that's in all the department stores today. So the moral of that story is what? What goes around comes around. Didn't your mom tell you hang on to your stuff because eventually it will come back around, right? And even today, I know I have bought some things, you know, like that darling top that Kathy has on right now. It's flowy. We used to wear those when I was in junior high school, and they're back. Hallelujah, right? But anyways, I am so delighted to be back here in my home. This Bible study has always been the passion of my heart, and it's the ministry that God has used to change my life. And I know that that's your story too, right? Hasn't God used this very ministry to change your life? And then there's been the ripple effect, right? Our families get a dose too, right? And so, Kathy, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that she brought me home and that she has been diligent to the vision of this ministry. Because you know what? These things don't just happen. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears, prayer, has gone into building up this ministry. And it's not just here in Riverside. As you know, we've got Orange County, we have Woodcrest Satellite, Eastvale, South Corona, and Kumalani, which I know we're all being called to Hawaii, right? At least maybe a vacation. I see one coming in my future. So you Kumalani sisters, I'll see you soon. But you know what? I have thoroughly loved our studies. And David, you know, looking at his life, and I realized it's been 27 years since we really studied the life of David. And at that time, we went through all of 1 and 2 Samuel. We looked at his life in detail. Well, in this study this year, we just kind of looked at the pivot points of David's life. And now we've been ushered in to the Lord's Prayer. And I can tell you this, I will never look at the Lord's Prayer in the same way again, right? We were just talking, Kathy and I, in the green room, and realizing how difficult, you know, the verse that we just studied, and then the one that she gets to teach, you know, we love to stay up there with our Father. Hallowed be your name, right? That's where we want to stay. But now we come from that, and it is brought down to where the rubber meets the road in our life, right? So when we think about the Lord's Prayer, and when Jesus was teaching, we remember that this is included in the Sermon on the Mount, which was a really long sermon, right? And Jesus had just begun his public ministry. It's his first year of his ministry. And he's really popular. Things are going really good. Miracles, healings. Everybody wants to hear what Jesus has to say. And so in my mind's eye, I can see him as he's up on that hillside. And there are the multitudes down below. And he's looking at them, just like I'm here and I'm looking at you. And he doesn't see just a multitude. He sees individuals, just like I'm picking out faces right now. I can see individuals. And he saw individual needs. And he saw needs that these individuals didn't even know that they were going to have. And Jesus, at this moment, also knew what his mission was. He knew where he was headed, that he would be the very last sacrifice. He knew that. He knew that. He knew that there would be no more need for the blood of animals. And he knew that he would be that high priest. He would be the ultimate sacrifice, and he would be our high priest. A new dispensation had come in, and he saw it. He knew it was happening right then at that very moment. And that forgiveness would be as simple as a prayer. That's mind-blowing. No more blood of animals. No more sacrifices. No more going to the high priest to make the offering. It would be complete in him. That's amazing stuff. And I can never get over that. I can never get over that. And so, Jesus said, pray then this way. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And with that, will you pray with me? Thank you that you made the ultimate sacrifice, that you came knowing, that you came and you could see what it was that you were going to accomplish. And you did it all, Jesus. You did it all. Not one stone was left unturned. You did it all. You did it all. And you made forgiveness so simple for us. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you did that for us. That you made forgiveness not only accessible, you made it easy and you made it simple. That's what you did for us, Jesus. And I'm praying now, Holy Spirit, that you would come upon us. Lord, you know I've prayed, and you know I've prepared some notes. But bottom line, you're the one who has the power. And you're the one that I am asking now to come in and to open up hearts and to open up minds. There are days when we hear, maybe it's the same thing that we've heard over and over, but there are days that we have an appointment and we hear it. We actually hear it, and it makes a difference in our life. And so, Lord, could that be this day? That's what I'm praying. That's what I'm praying. And we're all in agreement, so I'm assuming it's going to happen, Lord. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. You know what? Every issue of life hinges on this one point. Every conflict within ourselves and with others can be settled when once we decide what we are going to do with forgiveness. It can be settled. All of those issues, all of those conflicts within us, they can be settled when once we decide what we're going to do with this amazing gift called forgiveness. I recall the first time the rubber met my road, or maybe it's the other way around, whichever way you look at it. When I realized that I had a great and I had a desperate need for forgiveness, I was 14 years old, and I had gotten involved in things that I had no business getting involved with. Like so many of you, you know, if we survive our teenage years, right? And I recall when that rubber literally met the road. It was one night when our family was seated at the dinner table. Just four of us, mom and dad and me and my brother. And it was a rare occurrence for our family at that time in our family history for all of us to be seated at the dinner table at the same time because we were all doing our own thing. And mom had made a beautiful dinner. And there I was with this beautiful plate of food right in front of me. And I knew I couldn't eat it because if I ate it, I was going to be sick. Because of the way that I was living, because of the choices that I was making, I had such a knot in my stomach all the time. I felt so guilty. I didn't recognize that that's what I was feeling, but that's what was happening to me, and I developed an eating disorder. I could not eat. I literally could not eat, because if I ate, I knew I was going to be sick, that I would be in the bathroom very, very shortly. And so there I was looking at that plate of food. And I remember having my fork just kind of like hovering over the plate. I couldn't allow that fork to actually touch my food. It was that bad. And the anxiety continued to build and my stomach was getting tighter. And I literally broke down. I had a breakdown. And I don't mean I just started crying like little snibbles. I was crying like if somebody had died. And, oh, it's coming back. And you know what? I felt terrible. I felt terrible because here was this rare opportunity that our family was all seated at the table together. Mom went to a lot of work, and I'm spoiling our family dinner. I did not want that to happen. I was embarrassed. I felt horrible. I don't remember everything that transpired after that. I think my mom took me to bed. But I do remember what happened the next day. My mom made a doctor appointment, and she took me to the doctor. She was really concerned. You know, my daughter's losing weight. At that time, I didn't need to. She can't eat. She's crying at the dinner table. There is something really wrong going on with my daughter. So when I got into that exam room, it was just me and the doctor alone. And she says to me, "Okay, Christy, tell me about this weight loss, the fact that you can't eat and that you started crying at the dinner table uncontrollably." And I'm like, wow, she knows. I'm outed, and I have to talk about it. And I thought momentarily, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to this doctor? How can I put a good spin on this? And so I just kind of began sharing with her some of the struggles that we were having in our family at that time. And I dotted it with little notes about myself, which I also put a really good spin on. And she was very quiet, very patient, listened to me, didn't interrupt me whatsoever. And then she says these words to me that literally floored me. It was the last thing I expected to hear from her. She said, "Christy, you are suffering from feelings of guilt." I don't know what I expected her to say. I think maybe I thought she was going to give me a pill. But you know what? Today, there still isn't a pill for guilt, right? There is not a pill that will remove and heal what guilt does to us. And so she sent me on my way. She told me what her diagnosis was, but she couldn't offer me anything. You know, she just told me, well, this is what's happening. And so I remember going home that night and praying, really, for the first time in a really long time. And it was just the classic SOS prayer. Lord, help. Help me. That's all I could pray. Lord, help me. Because you know what? And I remembered this scripture verse as I was preparing this message. Proverbs 8:36a says this, "He who sins against me injures himself." Because that's what was happening to me. I was injuring myself. It was a self-inflicted wound, and I didn't have to live that way. And you know what God did for me? He began to subtract friends from my life. And I didn't realize it at the time, but God was actually answering prayer. And you know what? It hurt. It was painful. Because those subtractions came through lies and betrayals. But the Lord brought new friends into my life. Friends who knew him. Friends who knew his word. Friends who spoke his truth into my life. And it all happened within a year. It was an amazing year. I think I lost more weight, actually, just because there was so much going on with me at that time. And I have a friend who actually bought me a Bible. Do you remember the Way Bible? Any of you guys remember the Way? I love that Bible. To this day, it's on my shelf. It's falling apart, but I love that Bible. And we started attending Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, together. I was an Orange County girl. I grew up in Orange County. So God really used that episode in my life to turn my life completely around. To this day, I can look back. That was my pivot point. I can look back to that 14-year-old teenager and say, God, thank you that all I had to do was cry out, call on your name for help. You know, I think about my sensitive nature. I have a really, really sensitive nature. And my friends, my husband especially, knows that I do. And I think that trajectory that I was on, who knows where I would be today if I had not called on the Lord. I have no idea, but it scares me to think about it. And it is this grace, this passionate love that Jesus has for me that causes me to run, not walk, run to him for forgiveness, to have that guilt washed off of me. To this very day, I keep short accounts, believe you me. I cannot let a day go by without a spiritual bath from my Heavenly Father. I can't. I can't. I need to know that everything is right with us. You know, when things are bothering you and you're guilty, you know what? You're very unsettled inside. And it colors everything in your life. And you know this is true, right? It colors everything in your life. And as much as we need to be made clean by our Heavenly Father and to receive this amazing gift of forgiveness, he needs to give it to us, even desperately, because how else can we explain the gruesome reality of the cross? How else? What other explanation is there for the cross, if not for this, to make us right with our Creator? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We take that scripture verse for granted. We take it for granted. Do you know what that word gave means in the Greek in that verse? It means to smite and suffer. That's what the Father did to his own Son. That's what he did to his own Son. You know what? I have only one child. I have one son. He's 26 years old now. He's my son of promise. But I can tell you, there is not one person on the face of this earth that I love enough or that I'm desperate enough for that I would give my son for. There's not anybody, let alone Smite, let alone cause him to suffer. There's no one. I guarantee you, there's no one that I would give him for. He loves us so much, and his love for us far exceeds anything that we can know. You know, even our mama bear love. You know how much you love your child. I know how much I love my child. His love far exceeds that. You know, because I look at memories in my mind of my son when he was an 11-year-old. And here, you know, at school. And there was a little boy that was kind of mean to him. And he told me about it. And I was like, ooh, no, you didn't. You did not do that to my kid. And when he got into really competitive sports as a baseball player and track on into college, those coaches are mean. They are so mean. They are so mean. And I'm telling you, it took restraint. It did. It really did. And I think that's just that. That's just that, right? And I just felt all of these things in me like, oh my goodness, Christy, time for a spiritual bath, right? But you know what? See, we can't relate. Even in our greatest love for a child, our husband, we still can't relate. His love far exceeds it. It far exceeds it. It does, and I'm so thankful for it. And there are so many scripture verses that testify to his great love and how valuable we are to him and that we are treasured. And as I was thinking, Lord, I want to pick one. I just want to pick one really good verse. And as I was praying, he led me to one. It's Isaiah 49. Verses 15 and 16, and it says this, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." What's interesting about this verse is that it doesn't say he inscribed our name on his hand. The word says that he inscribed you on his hand. And so your thoughts are probably going the very same place that mine immediately went to. The cross, right? Because in John 20:20, Jesus said in his resurrected form, he said, Look at my hands. Look at my side. Those hands, that scar is there forever into eternity and beyond, whatever that is. They're there forever, and they speak of our love. And those scars say my name. They say your name. It says everything about us. That word inscribed in the Hebrew is chakak. It's C-H-A-Q. A-Q, and it means to cut. We have been cut into the palms of our Lord's hands. It's amazing stuff. And then I think about Revelation 3:12, where he says that I will write upon you my name. And that word, write, in the Greek, means inscribe. This is amazing stuff. We are inscribed on the palm of his hand, and he's going to inscribe his name on us. Make no mistake who you belong to. No mistake who you belong to. And that is the greatest demonstration of love for us. So eventually, as that 14-year-old girl, I did confess my sins. And I did repent. And this is what I did. I listed them. Because you know what? Sometimes we want to put a good spin on our sin, right? Because we don't even like to think about it or look at it. The only sin that God can't forgive is what? The unconfessed sin, right? And so I listed it. I said, Lord, I confess. Forgive me for smoking those cigarettes. Forgive me for smoking that pot. Forgive me for drinking that beer. Forgive me for drinking that icky Boone's Farm strawberry wine stuff that made me sicker than a dog. I should have learned my lesson, but I didn't. And Lord, forgive me for those swear words. Those words, I think that bothered me the most. These lips, this mouth, created for praise. Swear words came out of my mouth. And that was the worst to me of all. So we confess with our mouth and we repent by making lifestyle changes which are consistent with his demonstration of love for us. And so you know what? I drew the line in the sand that day. I drew the line. And it's not that I became perfect. It's not that I ever, you know, had a moment where I didn't stumble. I did stumble a few times, but I never fell. And to this day, I'm on this side of the line that was drawn in the sand that day, all those years ago, all those years ago. I take the sacrifice, the spotless, pure, loving, beyond anything we can know, blood of my Savior very seriously. This is holy ground. Holy ground. I take it seriously. And you know, what sometimes happens to us when we've repented of our sins and time goes on, we remember. And it kind of bothers us. We still kind of feel bad about those things. And that happened to me. You know, it happened to me just even in reflecting on that as I was preparing for this message. This actually was not my first thought. I didn't imagine that I would be transported back in my memory bank to 47 years ago. I did not think that that would actually happen, but God brought it back to my memory. And even now, there's that little bit that just feels kind of icky. You know, it's like, oh, I wish that wasn't part of my testimony. I like the testimony that talks about what God did for us when we wanted a baby and he gave us our miracle baby. I like that testimony. I don't really like to think about this or share it. And so sometimes those things can kind of hang on us. And for others, maybe you say these words to yourself, I just can't forgive myself. I just can't forgive myself. Well, you know what? There's a man in Scripture who could have said those very words. We know him as the Apostle Paul. Do you remember his past before he became Paul? He was Saul. And it was his mission in life to destroy Christianity. It was him who was in hearty agreement with the stoning of the very first martyr of the church, Stephen, that holy and godly man. And even the ringleaders of that stoning mob, they laid their garments at his feet. Hey, watch our stuff, Paul, while we go stone Stephen. That's his past. He could have said those words. He could have said, Lord, I can't forgive myself. I'm useless to you. You can't use someone like me. But the thing with Paul is he didn't let his past corrupt the call that God had on his life. And this is how he did it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. This is the thing that I really want you to get. The prize is in front of us. It's not behind us. You can't go back. You will never find the prize by going back. You'll never find it there. Never. It's out in front of you. Christianity is all about forward motion. And that is what Christ has called us to. He's called us to a forward race, not a backward race. And so when those thoughts want to taunt you, you stand on the authority of God's word and you reach forward and you tell yourself, you preach to yourself, no, my sins have been forgiven. And you stand on that and you literally need to force yourself to change your thinking. And maybe you're thinking, well, you know what? I can't change my thinking. You're talking about mental gymnastics, and I'm not a gymnast. Well, let me tell you, I'm not either, but I can do it, and I have done it. I have trained my mind. And that means when these thoughts, whatever they are, that I know that are not fruitful, that I know are not something that God can bless or that God can use to propel me forward to that prize, I say, I'm not going to think about it no more. I'm not going to think about it. And I get busy about kingdom work. You need to occupy yourself. Trade up. You know, let go of that old stuff and start occupying yourself with kingdom work. You can get busy in a good way. So busy in kingdom work that you don't have time anymore to dwell on the past. And so it can be difficult sometimes to, quote, forgive ourselves. And it can be even more difficult to forgive others. Let's unpack this verse a little bit more. Jesus said, pray this way. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So did you notice the past tense form? When we're praying, forgive me, he's assuming that we're forgiving, right? That's what's happening there. And maybe up till now, you've been able to pray the Lord's Prayer sincerely and honestly until this moment in your lesson, if you took it seriously. Because maybe there are debtors in your life, people you haven't forgiven. You know, some of us do have a thorn in our side. In fact, probably most of us do. You know, those difficult people that are always there, a thorn in the side, right? What do you do about that? You know what? Paul was someone who also had a thorn in the flesh too. In fact, he talked to God about it 3 times. He said, Lord, if possible, you know, let's get rid of this thorn. Please, please. It's hindering me. It's troubling me. It causes me pain. But this is what God said to him. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And that's how you deal with your thorn in the flesh too. That's how you do it. And you're saying, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? You make the exchange. You make the exchange. Your weakness for his power. And let me tell you this. You will never experience Christ's power without experiencing your own weakness. You don't get both. It's one or the other. One or the other. And I'll tell you what. I will boast in my weakness for the exchange of Christ's power any day. And you know what? When I'm feeling weak, when I feel that on me, I don't like it. I don't like it. But I have learned to embrace my weakness because I know that's where Christ is going to come in. The exchange is going to happen. And I'm going to gain him, his power in me. I know it's going to happen because I'm standing on the authority of his word. Wouldn't you rather have his power any day than your own strength? Right? That's me. That's exactly. Amen. Amen. But unpacking it a little bit more. What about those actions? People have sinned against you in such a way that it seems unforgivable. Unforgivable. Things that have been stolen that can never be bought back. I can appreciate that too. But we still have to decide what we're going to do with forgiveness. We still have to decide. Even the most horrible, horrific thing, it doesn't give us a pass. We still have to decide what we're going to do with forgiveness. I mean, do you really believe that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world? Do you believe that? And do we really want to pray this prayer sincerely, honestly, and in freedom? Do we really want to do that? Lord, forgive me as I have forgiven my debtors. You want to do that. You want to be able to do that. Mother Teresa said this: you have never really lived until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. And just as that person took something that's lost forever, something that can never be bought back, you can give something that literally can never be bought. You can give forgiveness to that person. You can give them that gift. It's something they can't buy, but you can give it to them. God is able to turn hurtful, hateful, and evil things for good. It was Joseph who said to his brothers, he said, "And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Genesis 50:20. Those brothers of his, they did mean evil. They did mean evil against Joseph. When they put him in that pit, they hoped he would die. They meant evil upon him. But God turned it for good. He turned it for good. He should have been able to trust his own family. They were his brothers. They were his brothers. And some of you have been betrayed and sinned against by members of your own family. It seems unforgivable. It was evil. But God can turn it for good. How does he do that? I don't know. But I know it's true. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in members of my family's life. I've seen it in my friend's life. He does it. He can turn the most horrible thing for good. He's able to do that. And you know what, friends? Today's the day. Today is the day to set the captives free. Today is the day. Two debtors can be released from prison at the same time. Because you know what? When we put someone in debtor's prison, do you realize we go with them? We go with them. They don't go alone. Because this is what Jesus said in his parable in Matthew 18:33-34. He said, "Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Both debtors were imprisoned. That's a really icky thought to some of you, to think, you know what, I thought I was putting that person in prison. I'm there with them. That's not what I had in mind. But that's what Scripture tells us. The forgiven one was sent back, and there he was with the one that he would not forgive the debt. That's what happened. Everywhere you go, you're taking that prisoner with you. You locked him up because you thought it was a safe thing to do. You thought, this way, this person will never hurt me again. But that's not what happened, is it? That's not what happened. It didn't work out that way. You're experiencing the torture. That word torturers from Matthew's gospel is sometimes translated jailer. The idea is being handed over to someone to be inflicted. That's what happens when we put someone in the prison of our heart. Forgiveness is the only key. It's the only key that sets every prisoner free. Forgiveness is the key. As I said before, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is it right here. And you know what? Maybe you're thinking, you know what? Today is not a good day for me to be hearing this message. Oh, yeah? Maybe you're thinking, you know what? It's too hard. It's too hard. And when I take care of this kind of business, I want to be home alone with no distractions. So if it's messy, it can be messy. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If your heart is beating and you know the Spirit is speaking to you, it's not going to get any easier than it is at this very moment. But it might get harder. So I'm going to pray for us now. And I'm going to give us, leave your notebooks alone. Just lay them on your lap. I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to give opportunity for those of you to just quietly confess your sins to the Lord. Say, Lord, I can relate to that cigarette, that pot, that Boone's Farm, whatever it is. I can relate to that. The bad words, whatever it is. Whatever it is. You know what it is. I can relate to that. I'm going to pray for you. You just offer it up to the Lord. You know, maybe it's a situation with your husband. I don't know. Maybe your kids, your adult kids. I don't know. But just confess that sin to the Lord very quietly. It's between you and him. And then I'm going to pray for those of you who need to turn that key and set both you and your debtor free. Because you know what? You've got a chain and ball on you. And it's hard to go through life like that. You don't need to be running a race with weights on you. It hinders you. And it prevents you from running as fast as the Lord is calling you to run. Because you know what, friends? We're living in a day when we got to learn how to run. We got to learn how to run. God's got great things that he wants to do for us and through us. And I don't think we've seen anything yet. And I know many of you bear witness with that. Let's pray now. Holy Spirit, I'm lifting up my sisters right now who are seriously contemplating this great opportunity of forgiveness. What you have done for us, that you made forgiveness as simple as a prayer. And so, as we're just quietly right now in this moment, just usher up your request and your confession of sin to the Lord. And for those who need to turn that key, who need to set the debtor free, oh, Holy Spirit, help them, help my friends. Help them in faith to to do this. You're safe. You're safe. And you will keep them safe. And you will help them do this. All they have to do is turn the key and say, I forgive. I forgive. And if there's something that they need to do that confirms that, maybe it's a phone call, it's a letter, whatever, show them by your Spirit. Or do they just need to let it go? That too, show them, Holy Spirit, because sometimes it's just time. Sometimes it's just a matter of time. So, Lord, as we're quiet now, just speak that name to the Lord and say, I forgive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this gift. We offer all of this, all of it, every bit of it, to you and to your safekeeping. And we thank you now, and we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.